Like this evening to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, to continue our series of messages on being the church that people need. And as we've seen, that's not as easy as most people think. And we'd like to read tonight verses 23 through verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go, Peter and John, they went to their own company. There's a message there, our own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. By way of background to what we just read, we see in Acts chapter 3, the first 8 verses, after the lame man who sat at the temple gate was healed, that filled the people of Jerusalem with amazement and wonder, and many of them gathered at the temple. And when Peter saw the people gather at the temple, he preached to them. And we see that in verses 12 through 26 of Acts chapter 3. The message that Peter preached grieved the religious elite, angered the religious elite, and they arrested Peter and John. We see that in the early verses of chapter 4. They held them until the next day, and then they brought them before the Sanhedrin. And we see that Peter proceeded to preach to the Sanhedrin there in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The Sanhedrin then commanded them, Peter and John, to immediately stop preaching Jesus Christ. And then they let him go. And being let go, we read in our text, they went to their own company. As you read on here, you see that that was the church. And they told the people that were assembled together, that were congregated together, what had happened. And we see that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And the response of the church upon hearing what had happened to Peter and John, that they had been threatened, that they must stop preaching Jesus Christ, the church banded together in prayer. We see, and when they had, in verse 24, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They did not hire a lawyer. They lifted up their voice to God. They did not organize a rally to picket the council They did not organize a protest march against religious discrimination. They lifted up their voice to God. They did not throw up their hands in despair. They did not become discouraged. They did not become downtrodden. They lifted up their voice to God. That sets an example. That sets a pattern for the churches of the Lord. There is encouragement there for the churches of the Lord. And if a church is ever going to continue to be the church that people need, they must be a praying church. They must maintain prayer. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, a maintaining of prayer. Paul exhorted the church of Colossae there in Colossians 4 and verse 2. He says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. That is, keep on praying. Proceed on. Persist on in prayer. Do not stop praying. So we want to look at this tonight, and we want to look at the fact that the church of Jerusalem was a praying church, which sets an example and a pattern for you and I. We read again here in Acts 4 and verse 24, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now they weren't singing, they were praying, because verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, place was shaken. As soon as they heard that, as soon as they heard that Peter and John had been threatened, the church had been threatened. Peter and John were members of that church. They lifted up their voice to God. That was their impulse. That was not the last resort. Prayer should not be the last resort. Prayer should be what we do by impulse. When we hear something, it ought to be our impulse to pray. But to many, I'm afraid prayer is just the last resort. That wasn't the case. When they had heard the report of Peter and John, it was their instinct. It was their inclination to pray. When they heard the report of Peter and John, they did that which was normal for them to do. They prayed. This was the normal thing for this church to do. They did that which they were accustomed to do. They did that which they had always done. They prayed. This is, again, what they had done. Notice back in Acts chapter 1. Between verses 9 through 11 and verse 1 of chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11, you have the ascension of Christ back into heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, you have the day of Pentecost. There are 10 days between the ascension and the day of Pentecost. So what was the church doing in that 10-day span? They were praying. Notice in Acts 1 verse 12, after Christ has ascended, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room. So there they are in the upper room. He mentions some of those that were present. And then in verse 14, we read, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So when we read in Acts chapter 4 in verse 24 that when they heard the report of Peter and John, they lifted up their voice unto God. This is what they were accustomed to doing. They prayed. Then we come to Acts chapter 6. And we have the appointment of deacons. And we read in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And notice in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, we see that Herod began to persecute the church. He killed James. He arrested Peter and intended on killing Peter the next day. But the church gathered together in the house of Mary, not to discuss a plan of action, but to pray. Notice in Acts chapter 12, in verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You see, it was the habit of this church to turn their eyes from what man was doing and turn their eyes to God. It was the habit of this church to turn their eyes from their problems and their eyes from their circumstances and turn their eyes to God. That is what they were accustomed to do. That was their impulse. When they heard that something was wrong, the impulse was, we got to pray. Whatever their circumstances were, their impulse and their instinct was, we've got to pray. Prayer was a priority to them. It was a way of life to them. They prayed. Today, the Lord's churches, we have many advantages over the early church and the early churches that we read of in the book of Acts. Some of those advantages really might be disadvantages. But we have more money. We certainly have more buildings and nicer buildings. We definitely have more liberty. We definitely have more Bibles. We definitely have more resources. And we have more conveniences. But those are not the things that will make us the church that people need. It's not buildings that make a church what people need. It's not resources. It's not money. That's not what makes a church what people need. That people need. But one of the things, amongst all the things we've mentioned up to this point, if we're going to be the church that people need, in spite of our resources, in spite of our money, in spite of our liberty, we need to be a people of prayer. It needs to be natural for us to pray. It needs to be our impulse. It needs to be our instinct to turn our eyes away from man and to turn our eyes away from circumstances and to turn our eyes to God and to pray. That's the only way we can be the church that people need. Seems to me that as we live in the last days, and we live in perilous times, and sin is rampant, it seems to me that churches ought to be praying more than they've ever prayed before. And yet, it seems like they pray less. We have to be a people of prayer. Not just the people of prayer, but that has to be our impulse. That has to be what we do. It's not our last resort. It's what we are inclined to do. Prayer, there must be a maintaining of a proper manner of prayer. Someone might ask or think, well, what's so important about prayer? Well, that is one of the ways that God has determined how we communicate with Him. It's a way of communicating with God. It is also how God has chosen to hear His people, by prayer. It is how we present our petitions to God. The Bible teaches in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, it's how we come to God. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer is a way of approach to God. Now notice some things about this church's prayer back in Acts chapter 4. We're talking about church praying right now. I'm not talking about individual praying. That's very important, of course, and something every single member of this church has a responsibility to pray for one another every single day. And if you don't do that, you're failing in your responsibility. Doesn't matter how much money you might give, that's not what we're talking about. Doesn't matter how gifted you might be, that does not make up for praying for one another, praying for the church. But we're considering tonight the church collectively praying. And they were unified in their praying. Notice again verse 24. And when they, that's plural, they lifted up their, that's plural, voice, singular. Many people praying, but it was one voice. There was unity in their praying. They were praying for the same thing. They had the same burden. They had the same concerns. And they lifted up their voice. It is added, they did so with one accord. That is, there was agreement, there was harmony in their prayer. We read in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 concerning the prayer meeting that went on in the house of Mary, that prayer was made of the church collectively. And we also read there, many gathered together. That is, jointly in cooperation, in partnership, side by side. They joined together doing what? Praying. They banded together in prayer. There was harmony. There was harmony in, there was harmony of felt need. And they prayed. They were in harmony of feeling. They were in harmony of desire. And they were committed to praying. Again, a church cannot pray in harmony if they're not in harmony. A church must be in harmony. A church must be in unity. A church must be in agreement so that they can pray together. And there ought to be special times when a church bands together, when a church commits, we're going to pray. And this church in the book of Acts had this. They were praying No one was doing anything else. This is what they were doing. They were praying. They were not merely together. They were together praying. And if we're going to be the church that people need, we must not only be a people of prayer, we must be a people that bands together to pray. Must be a people that assemble and congregate together to pray. There was also an awareness of God and His presence. You can't really pray unless you are aware of the presence of God. And it says here that they lifted up their voice to God. They were aware of His presence. They were not merely looking at their present circumstances, they were looking to God. They believed with God there was no problem too great. There was no need beyond the resources of God. They believed that God was able. So they prayed. Do we believe that tonight? Do we believe that God is able? God is able to fix any problem. He's able to fix any situation. Then we ought to pray. Then we ought to lift up our voice to the one who is able. So they were casting themselves upon God. They were leaning upon God. They were also drawing from God. That's what we do when we pray. We not only are petitioning God, but we're drawing from God. In other words, we're being strengthened. And there they were, praying. And notice also there was an acknowledgement of God's power. There in verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Notice where they began their prayer. They did not begin with the threats of the Sanhedrin. That's not where they began. They began with God. They began by praising God and by declaring the greatness of God. That's where they began. And I believe that's important. So often we begin our prayers with whatever our circumstance is at that moment. That's where we begin and that's where we end. But you follow, you look at it all through the Word of God, and that's not the case. They begin with God. And I believe there's a reason for that. Because you begin with God, you begin by acknowledging God, you begin by acknowledging the presence of God, the greatness of God, and that is what prepares you to pray. To really pray. So here's where they began. Lord, Thou art God. They didn't begin with the threats of the enemy. They began with the authority of God. Thou art God. Their eyes are upon the authority of God. They realize that God, who created everything, is the God who controls everything. And you can read, we're not going to save time, but read verses 25 through 28. And that's what they're acknowledging. They're acknowledging that God is God. They're acknowledging that God is in control of everything. Now just think of their situation. They've preached, they've been faithful, and now they've been told to stop. What would we do today? What would be the first thing we'd do if we were told to stop? What would be the first thing we would do? It should be to pray. That should be the very first thing. But let's be honest. Many churches today, that would not be the first thing. The first thing they would do was to hold a meeting And we've got to come up with a plan. No, the first thing is you pray. But if the first thing you do is plan, somebody is going to stand up and say, I know a lawyer. We need to get a hold of him. Next thing you do, and you know, you're hiring a lawyer. The first thing we need to do is pray. And if God tells the church, hire a lawyer, then you hire a lawyer. But the first thing you do is to pray. But if that's not the first thing you do, you have a meeting, you plan, and someone says, well, we need to hire a lawyer. Someone else says, I'm tired of this. We're not going to put up with this. We're going to make some picket signs. We're going down to Village Hall, and we're going to march. What's that going to fix? Their impulse was they prayed. You know, individually and collectively, what our first impulse is says much about us. It really does. It speaks volumes about us. And the first thing they did was they prayed. They realized that everything was in God's hand. I mean, what hope had they against the powerful Sanhedrin? What could they do? They did what they could. They prayed. We must be a church of prayer. They lifted up their voice to God. As you read their prayer was reverent. Their prayer was believing. They also realized God's sufficiency for their present situation. Notice in verse 29, and now, the word now shows the urgency of the prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And pray, Lord, kill the Sanhedrin. All they did was say, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, they have threatened us. Lord, we're leaving that with you. We're just going to leave that with you. You do with it as you see fit. But Lord, we're just going to leave it with you. That's what we need to do with the enemies of the Lord's churches. Hand them over to God. Just hand them over to the Lord. Lord, here they are. Behold what they've done. Lord, here they are. We're leaving them with you. And God will work. God will work. So there now was threatenings. And realizing the greatness of God, they simply spread their case before the Lord. Their well-being was being threatened. The work of the Lord, humanly speaking, was being threatened. So they just simply took the matter to the Lord. They said, Lord, here it is. Here's what they've said. Here's what they've done. Leave it with you. You see, prayer was the business at hand. If we're going to be the church that people need, we must realize the sufficiency of God, so much so that it is our first impulse to bring all matters to God in prayer. Again, there was a fervency and urgency in their prayers. We see that in that word now in verse 29. But what was it that they prayed for? What was it that they prayed for? Did they pray, Lord, deliver us from this persecution? Lord, we're being treated unfairly. We're being treated unjustly. Lord, do something about it. Lord, deliver us from that. That's not how they prayed. They just left that with the Lord. They said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And that was the end of that. That was the end of that. Now, we spend much of our praying telling the Lord all about our circumstances. But there, they just left it, Lord, behold. Here it is. And then what was it that they prayed? Notice in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant, that's grace. Anytime God grants anybody anything, that's grace. And grant unto thy servants. So they've taken the position of servants. They are the servants of God. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, behold their threatenings. Their threatening was, you stop preaching Jesus. Lord, you behold their threatenings. We're leaving that matter with you. Now, Lord, we're praying that you'll give us the grace, that you'll give us the strength, that you'll give us the courage, that you'll give us the conviction to just keep on preaching the word of God. They're praying that God would enable them to do what God had called them to do. That's how we ought to pray. Lord, here's our circumstances. We leave all of those circumstances with you. Now, Lord, give us the grace to do and to be what you would have us to do and what you would have us to be. And that's what they prayed. They did not pray for deliverance. They did not pray for more favorable circumstances. They simply took the position of needy servants, realizing their responsibility to him. And they said, Lord, cause us by thy grace to do what you've called us to do. God, cause us by thy grace to be what you've called us to be. And if the government comes in and says, you all have 1 week to stop doing what you're doing, or else, what are we going to do? Pray. Pray. And what are we going to pray about? Lord, give us the grace to do what you have called us to do. Give us the grace to be what you've called us to be. We can tell the Lord about the circumstances. Lord, they threaten us. We have 1 week. Leave that with God. Behold their threatenings. But Lord, we need to be what you want us to be. We need to do what you want us to do. This is how we need to be praying. We live in terrible times. We live in times where people are compromising on every hand. And what we need to simply pray is, Lord, give us the grace to do what you would have us to do. Give us the grace to be what you would have us to be. And churches can go through very difficult times. Churches, just like an individual life, there are seasons. Churches have seasons also. And sometimes everything is going smooth. At other times, people are dying. At other times, people are sick. And then there are sin problems. We go through seasons. But through it all, our impulse ought to be to lift up our voice, one voice, to God in prayer, saying, Lord, give us the grace. People are dying. People are sick. People are in sin. But Lord, we just pray that when we leave all that with you, but Lord, we pray that you'd give us the grace to just keep on going and keep on doing what you would have us to do. We get sidetracked sometimes in our praying. This church realized what was the priority, and that was to continue to do what God had called them to do. So if we're going to be the church that people need in this day of air, in this day when air is becoming more and more appealing, and even becoming appealing to some church members, and when sin is becoming more and more appealing to the world, but not only to the world, to some church members, the church needs with one voice to pray, God, help us to be what people need. God, help us to keep on standing for the truth. You see, it's not for you and I to come up with the solutions. God already has the solutions. We just need strength. We just need grace. Then notice the results of them praying together. There was a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Now I believe that's literal. I believe that God was so present that the pillars in that building began to shake. They could feel the presence of God. That's praying. That's praying. When you have the visible presence of God, that's praying. And that'll give you encouragement. That'll give you the conviction to go on. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, that is where they were gathered. And they were gathered there to pray. Where they were congregated, where they were convening, they were praying, and the place was shaken. So there was the visible presence of the Lord. We need today the visible presence of the Lord. We need a vivid realization of the presence of God. We need a vivid realization that God is here. There's no sense having church if God isn't here. No sense in it. We need a vivid realization that God is here. They had that after they prayed. There was also power. Remember, they prayed, Lord, grant us that we might preach thy word with boldness. And I believe the prayer was answered. There was power to live for the Lord, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That was God granting them the power to preach with boldness. And then notice they continued to do what they had been called to do, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were able. They were able to carry on. What we need today is not more modernization, more resources. That's not what we need. We need the power of God that comes through this kind of praying. Notice verse 32. They have prayed together, and I believe this increased their love for one another. It wasn't that they didn't love each other before, but they loved each other more. And they became even more and more unified in heart and soul. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They prayed together, and their love for one another grew. Their concern for one another grew. There's something about praying together that draws people together. And that's what happened here. All the plannings and schemings of man will not draw people together.
because we all have different plans. We all have different opinions. But I'll tell you what'll draw them together is for them to lift up their voice to God and pray. We see also that the beauty of Christ was upon them. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You could see the beauty of Christ in their lives. We need to be a praying church. If we're going to be the church that people need, we must commit to praying. It thrills me when a lost person will say, "Have the church pray for me." That thrills me. That shows they're paying attention to something. We need to commit to praying that we would have a more keen awareness of God in our midst. We need to pray that God would move mightily in our midst. So much so that the complacent would be stirred to do something. That the unexcited would be excited. That the unmoved would be moved. We need to pray. It's easy to get angry. It's a lot more difficult to pray. Anybody can get mad at what somebody did. But it takes a spiritual person to pray. We need to be a praying church. And I believe if we pray like this first church did, we will see God's power in our lives. We need to pray that God would change lives. Lord, here they are. We leave them with you. I learned a long time ago, I can't fix anybody. I can't fix myself. Just leave the matter with the Lord. Pray that chains would be broken. You realize that every single church service, there are many people who come in here dragging their chains. They're in bondage. Oh God, break their chains. And break whatever chains that might be holding us. Commit to praying for children. Commit to praying for the little ones that God would save their souls. That God would protect them from sin and error and the wolves. Pray. Oh, it's easy to blame. Anybody can blame. But pray. Pray for moms and dads. It gets harder by the day to raise children. Moms and dads need prayer. Moms and dads need to be praying together. Pray for teens and young adults. Pray for one another. Pray for marriages. Pray for homes. We need to commit to praying that the truth will be preached. Lord, that the truth would always be preached from our pulpit. And Lord, you would give us the grace to always stand for what is right. To always stand for the truth. Lord, give us courage. Lord, give us steadfastness. Lord, give us some stick-to-itness. We need to commit to praying. Commit to praying that God would grant us the ability and the burden and the power to do what we ought to do and to be what we ought to be. We need to be praying for missionaries. We need to be praying for the Lord's churches. But we need to be a people of prayer. And most importantly, that must be our impulse. That must be just what we do. We pray. We band together. And we pray. I don't know what it's going to take to get some of God's people to pray. It's hard to say what it'll take. That needs to be our impulse. That's true individually. You hear that someone is sick, your impulse ought to be, Lord, help them. Lord, your impulse ought to be to pray for them. You hear that someone is wayward, your immediate impulse ought to be to pray for them. Not, oh, how could they do that? Pray for them. Pray for them. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Your immediate impulse ought to be to pray. We need to be a people who has the impulse, the inclination to pray. And a praying church is the kind of church that people need. Because we all need prayer. We all need prayer. And everybody needs prayer. And if we're going to be what people need, we need to be a praying church. We need to take praying very seriously. And as we see the day approaching, so much the more ought we to be praying. Today, the day is approaching, and people are more interested in recreation, more interested in their own self-interest than they are banding together with God's people to pray. God help us to be a people of prayer. Well, you don't understand. I don't like praying out loud. No one said you had to. But band together in prayer. What should we be doing when someone else is praying? What should you be doing when we call on somebody to pray? We call on Brother Art tonight to pray. What should we all be doing while Brother Art's praying? We ought to be praying. We ought to be praying. That's what we ought to all be doing. All the time. All through the preaching, we ought to be praying. All through the service, we ought to be praying. When Brother Larry's leading singing, we ought to be praying. We ought to be singing, we ought to be praying. Always be praying. When we go home tonight, we ought to pray. If someone makes you angry, if someone hurts your feelings, pray for them. I guarantee you, if you continue to pray for somebody, you cannot stay angry with them. It's not possible. Try it. I mean, you continually pray for them every single day. You can't remain angry. You're going to let go one of two. You're either going to let go of the anger or stop praying. So if somebody upsets you, pray. It needs to be our impulse. God help us be a praying church. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a word of song.